take our hymn books and turn to 617. 617.
Thank you now for our service together. I pray that you would
be with each one. We pray for those who are not feeling well. We pray particularly for Jason and for Kelly as well, and others who would like to be here tonight but can't because they're not feeling well. We pray that you would be with each one. Put your hand of blessing and protection upon each one. We pray that it would be restored to full health and strength soon according to your will and way. Thank you now for our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Like I announced Sunday night, the details are on, printed on the paper back there, but Brother Renzi will be here on Sunday. We will have just the normal Sunday school and morning service, Lord willing. Hopefully we won't have any weather issues this time. On Wednesday night, Lord willing, Brother Dick Crew will be here. He hasn't been here for a while. He and his wife both got COVID. They're doing a lot better now, so it'll be good to see him. And hopefully his wife will not be with him this time. So I just want to pray that the Lord's will be done. And we don't have any plans beyond that. We're hoping that he'll be back by then. Okay. So we'll just have to see how long.
That's when my mother snows.
Yes.
So we'll just have to see about all those things. All right. So we'll just keep praying that everything works according to the way God wants it.
Yes, sir.
All right. So as far as I know right now, that's all the answers I have. I assume you'll be here through Wednesday at least that week.
Actually, I want to be. The reason my house is closing that Tuesday.
Okay, so you're just going to be here Sunday and that's it.
Right.
All right.
House, yes.
Okay.
Quick.
All right, so we'll see who the Lord provides for Wednesday night that week. Okay. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 25.
Every thought.
plenty of time to speak, but any new requests that we want to mention or update on an existing one? Donna?
Yeah, Kathy Hoover texted me today, and we've been praying for Nick. Costello, Mike Hoover's, I think,
brother-in-law, yes,
with cancer, and she said he's had a bunch of chemo treatments, and it really did knock him down. She said after all the treatments, the tumors had not shrunk much at all.
Mm-hmm.
He did another scan, and so they're going to continue chemotherapy. You all know how rough that can be on people to keep going with it. So she asked that we just keep praying for him, for his wife, and for his children.
That's on the third page of the prayer sheet, in case any of you were having trouble finding it. Speaking of the Hoovers, we want to continue to pray for them in case some of you didn't hear. They have a church out in Oregon that they took, and both of them got COVID. So, and Brother Hoover got it a lot worse than his wife did. So they've been dealing with it now for like 3 weeks, I think, about.
Kathy said they're doing pretty good now.
Okay.
He's getting his strength back. They're hoping next week to come back to Maryland, get their stuff, and then
back out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just continue to pray for them. Just like we are here, they're going through a transition time with that church out in Oregon where they're going. So. Okay. Yes, Barb.
My daughter really went with the Rebecca wanted to come to this church, but she had another engagement to Chris Church that I was trying to have.
Mm-hmm.
He had a PET scan yesterday, and the diagnosis is really, really poor, and so they're going to Fox case tomorrow and expecting reading tomorrow, and she wants to witness to to Patty Jo and Matt. She's Matthew is like 16 years old and very unsettled.
Right.
Yeah, so so she's doing that right now. It's just like the cancer is like really spreading at that.
It's spreading quickly.
Yeah, really spreading.
Okay. All right. Let me repeat that so everybody hears it. We already have listed Chris George on the cancer section. The cancer is all over and it's spreading rapidly. They're going to Fox Chase tomorrow to try to figure out what to do. And Barb's daughter, Rebecca, is witnessing to Patty Jo, who's listed there as Chris George's mother. And then and Chris George himself is not safe either. So we want to pray for that whole situation and the family. And that Rebecca has the freedom to speak the gospel. And I hope that both of them are saved. Okay. Did you have other requests?
No.
Okay, that was it. All right. Yes, Erica.
Just want to keep praying for Brian's dad, Glenn. He's having a lot of back issues still.
I put him on this time.
Yeah, if we could just pray for some direction as far as any possible treatment or what he can do. He seems to be really struggling. So if we could just keep him in prayer. And his mom, too, to be able to support him and help him with whatever she can.
Please tell them we miss them.
I will.
Definitely will.
They miss us.
Yeah, trust me, they want to be here, for sure. But my dad, I think he's barely upright at this point. So. Mm-hmm.
Your dad's had back issues for quite a while. It's just gotten progressively worse over the last 2 or 3 years, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like over the last year or two, it's just been like a dramatic decline. He struggled with it and had pain, but it's seems like it has gone to like a rapid speed lately, especially over the past year.
Okay. And the general physical needs are listed on the back page of the bulletin. So we redid the pages of it here in the last 3 months or so. So in case anybody has trouble figuring out where things are, it's we have the missionaries and what we call other prayer needs on the first page, and then spiritual needs on the page 2, cancer and answer to prayer on page 3, and then physical needs on the back. Anything else real quick? Okay. Pastor, I believe we're set to go here.
I'll say another thing to add on there to pray for, we're already praying for, is our country. Our country needs a lot of prayer, especially with what's going on today. I try to stay away from it as much as I can because it'll get me upset. The direction that the country's going. But we also have to realize, too, that we're reaping what we sown. In essence, we're reaping what we've sown, and now it's coming out to where you have a generation of people who can't control themselves either way, whatnot. So this is not what I'm talking about this evening, but in it talks about in 1 Timothy about praying for all that are in authority, whether it be kings, you know, whoever's in authority, to keep them in prayer. It says in 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So it doesn't matter who's in office, man or woman, whoever it is, the Bible says that we're to give thanks for all. It says verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And if we need to pray now more than ever for those that are in authority, most importantly, Lord, for their souls, and then also that we can lead a quiet and godly life to be a testimony. So let's keep our nation in prayer this evening. If you take your Bibles, I'm going to continue on the study that I've been doing there in 2 Peter about adding to our faith. If you take your Bible, flip on over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I just thank you for these precious brethren, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity to have these doors open. Lord, that we can come in and we can assemble together, Lord, that we can sing hymns to give you glory and honor. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word that we can open up tonight, Lord, and look at it. I pray, Lord, you just help us now as we look at your word, Lord, that you just give us insight, direction, and guidance. Help us to draw closer to you, to love you more, and to stay faithful. And Lord, I ask that you just be glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look this evening and finish up kind of what I was going over the last Wednesday that I was here. And in verse number 2, finish up verse number 2 and then look at verse number 3. In verse number 2, it talks about grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So we want grace and peace multiplied unto us, but how is it multiplied? It's multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I looked at three things the last time I was here, and I want to look at the last couple ones that I had listed. Take your Bible and flip on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, talking about the knowledge of God and why it's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34. We previously looked at that there's a lack of knowledge of God in our land because of sin, and Hosea talks about it there in the nation of Israel. And then we talked about how the knowledge of God can be found by individuals by looking at Proverbs chapter 2. Then we looked at the Lord desires for us to have a knowledge of him, back to Hosea. And then tonight here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, we find this. It says that, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he tells them in verse 34, he says, awake to righteousness, which tells me that we can get into a situation to where we're asleep. And you can kind of cross-reference that back to Romans, okay? But he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Live a righteous life and don't sin. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. We live in a country, like I was saying earlier, we definitely live in a country that has not the knowledge, the true knowledge of the true God. There's a lot of knowledge of a God or gods, but not the true God. There's a lot of churches preaching Jesus, but not the Jesus of this Bible right here. So the Bible says, awake to righteousness, sin not. Why? Because there's some people out there that we're going to run across. They have not the knowledge of God. And Paul says, I speak this to your shame. Number five, we are to guard and watch for things in our life that will exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Very familiar verses of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So Paul tells the first letter to the Corinthians to awake to righteousness because some have not the knowledge of God. And in 2 Corinthians, he tells us there's some things that will come against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see that? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, in my flesh, I was talking to another brother this afternoon about this. In my flesh, and especially I've served in the military, my flesh and my patriotism would want to go down there to Washington, D.C. and take part in a sense of for our liberties and for our Constitution. That's in my flesh. But the Bible says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's not my battle. Do I love my country? Yes, but I have a higher battle. I have a higher calling, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? We have a higher calling than the callings that we may have here in this flesh. Okay, I can serve as a soldier for my country, but I am now a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that calling is higher than my calling as a soldier of Jesus, as a soldier for this country. Does it make sense? So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Look, brethren, now if they were going down to Washington, D.C., it was a bunch of good churches getting together and say, we need to go down to Washington, D.C., and we need to fall down on our faces there at the steps there of Congress or wherever, the House, and fall down on our faces and pray to God for our country, that would be something I would do. Do you see the difference between the two? I'm not to go down there and storm the Capitol and say my rights are being taken away. I ought to go down there and fall down and ask God to spare our country. There are two separate battles for God. Or two separate battles. One's for God and one's a man's battle. We're to battle for God. One of the reasons our country is in this mess is because we're looking at it fleshly instead of spiritually. That's one of the reasons why, because we've tossed God out. We've thrown God out of schools. We've taken prayer out of schools. We've taken the Bible out of everything, Ten Commandments out of everything. Why do we expect anything different? See, we've thrown God away, and this is what we're reaping. So if we can bring God back in, maybe some things may be able to get changed for a little bit of time. It might spare us and give us a little bit more time for the gospel of Jesus Christ to get out in freedom. Okay? For our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why it's so important to guard your thoughts. What you allow to come into your ear gate and your eye gate, what you listen to, what you put through your eyes, will affect your thoughts, will affect your thinking and how you live your life. The Bible says here's casting down imaginations. Now, if you do a study on imaginations, I think there's only one time where in the whole Bible where the word imagination is used in a good sense. The rest of the time an imagination is used, it's not in a good sense. Because imaginations start affecting your thoughts. And God asks us to bring all our thoughts into captivity unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they go against the knowledge of God. They can hinder our walk with the Lord. Bring casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because there's some out there who have not the knowledge of God. Awake to righteousness. Okay? And then in Colossians 1:9, I'm not going to read it, but we are to increase in the knowledge of God once we have it. Now look at verse number 3. This is what I want to look at this evening real quick. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him," that's Jesus Christ, "that hath called us to glory and virtue." What we see here in verse number 3 is that God, through the Lord Jesus, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is possible to live a holy and righteous and godly life for Jesus Christ. It's not impossible. God's not asking us to do something that we cannot do. He says here that according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. Take your Bible. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Verse 13, a lot of people know this verse. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Ephesians 1 and verse number 17. How is this possible? By God's divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We do this through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that now indwells within us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. Look what it says. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," just like it says in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, "according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness," here in Ephesians says, "may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." And if you read down in chapter 2, it talks about how he has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. God has given us everything we need to live a life of godliness, holiness, and righteousness. Now, he talks about godliness there in 2 Peter. A life, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, life means manner of living, our conduct. And godliness means basically Christian obedience. It means a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties. Christian obedience. Now, you're not Godliness is just not going through the motions of what God tells us to do. Godliness proceeds from a heart of love and reverence for the divine character and commands of God. Godliness is not just mere religion. A lot of people today, they have mere religion. They go through the motions of what their church or their doctrines or their teaching says for them to do, but they're just going through the motions. There's no heart in it. God wants our heart into it because we want to do it. Why? Because he loves us. We want to love him back because of that. So godliness is being pushed forward from our love of wanting to serve God. That's godliness. Now, look over at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. He's given on us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, there's some things here in Romans chapter 8, basically the flesh, that will hinder our walk with God and godliness in our life. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God desires for his righteousness to be fulfilled in us. All right, verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You may ask tonight, some people might ask tonight, or somebody may listen to this recording. They may say, well, I don't have peace in my life. I have anxiety, I have turmoil. Why? Well, are you letting the carnal mind have more say in your life than your spiritual walk with God? Are you living more in the flesh than you are in the Spirit? Because if you're living more in the flesh than in the Spirit, you're going to lack peace and life, because sin produces death in our life. Now, once you're saved, I believe once you're saved, you're always saved, okay? But you still have this thing of state and standing, okay? My standing in Jesus Christ is set. I'm in him and he's in me. But my state can fluctuate because I can still live in the flesh. I don't have a glorified body yet. I still have the same body I've had my whole life. I have not been made a new creature with this flesh yet. I haven't got my new body yet. God's allowed me, once I got saved, to stay in this body. My spirit's been born again of God, but I'm still in this flesh. So that means I can still yield to my flesh. And if I yield to my flesh, I'm going to bring upon me death in this flesh. It's going to grieve the Spirit of God. And in essence, it's going to affect me physically. You live in this flesh, and you put away Bible reading, and you put away prayer, and you start getting anxious, and you start losing your peace, and you start getting angry, and you start getting mad. That's going to affect you physically. You're going to get ulcers. Your blood pressure is going to go up. Your stress level is going to go up. It's going to affect you physically and not for the better. And if you keep living that way, it may affect you to where it's going to affect you to where you die, especially if you're a Christian. I don't know about you, but some of the littlest things bother me. And it's like, Lord, son, what are you doing? I can't get away with nothing. That's why I wonder sometimes people say that saved and they can go and do. And I understand a saved man can get himself, or a saved woman gets themselves in a mess. But they ought to be feeling it from God. I know I feel it from God when I don't do as I ought to do for the Lord. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means the quality of being an enemy, the opposite of friendship, ill will, hatred. I don't want to be that towards God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they in their flesh cannot please God. Verse number 12, jump down to verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, look, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You say, brother Chris, there's some things I struggle with in my life. Well, daily, the flesh has to be mortified daily in order to get those victories. And the more you feed your flesh, the more it's going to be hard to bring it into subjection. The stronger you make the flesh, the weaker the spirit's going to be, and the more prone you're going to be to give into the flesh, whatever that may be. Whatever your struggle may be, all our struggles are different. We all, till the day God calls us home, we're going to have a struggle if we're in this flesh. But God's given us the ability to bring it into subjection. It's kind of bringing back what I said there in the very beginning. It is possible to live right for God. It is possible to live a victorious life for God. Not to say you're never going to fall, but there ought to be less falls the longer you go on with the Lord. You ought to be able to grow stronger in Jesus Christ. Mortify the deeds of the body, and ye shall live. Now, flip over to verse number 26 in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. God knows what's going on in your life. He says in verse 26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, look what it says, freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'll say this again, I said it Sunday night. If you fall short, you go home tonight, you go to sleep, things seem to be well, you wake up the next morning, and it just seems like you just fall flat on your face. Get back up and keep going on with God. Don't quit. Don't quit. The Lord's put these things on my heart because I think the further we go on in this society and where we live, the more temptation's going to be of, I just give up. What's the use? I'm praying, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to walk with God, I'm trying to live for God. It seems the more I try to live for him, the more I keep going backwards. And then the enemy jumps in on, like I said, Sunday night. Just give it up. Just quit. Just don't go to church tonight. Just stay home tonight. What's the use? It ain't no use anyway. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Maybe God doesn't want you to change, but everything else around you may change. What did David say? 1,000 fall on my right hand, 10,000 on my left. Look, though all the world fall apart, as long as you're living for God, everything will be all right with you and God. Don't worry about what's going on around you. That's one of the dangers of spending so much time with the media and television and all that. It'll drain you. It'll drain you. It'll take your joy. It'll take your peace. It'll take your happiness. Because all that you're seeing going around you. Brethren, it's inevitable. This has to happen for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. It has to get bad. If it is good, that means the Antichrist ain't nowhere to be seen. I don't know if he's on the scene yet or not. I don't know if he's born. I know he's not on the scene, but I don't know if he's been born yet or not. I don't know if he exists yet or if he's, I don't know. But I know that it has to get bad before he comes on the scene. I know it has to get, the Bible talks about a great falling away. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see these things happening. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this happened. Well, the Bible says it's perilous times shall come. It talks about in Timothy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are we not there? Unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. Are we not there? Well, we shouldn't be surprised. But that doesn't have to steal our joy. That doesn't have to steal our peace. That doesn't have to steal our relationship and walk with our Savior. Though everything else around us is going on, that's chaos and confusion, that doesn't have to be the way in our own life. He says, I've given to you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. For what purpose? That you can live a life that brings me glory and is virtuous. You know what the word glory means? It means honorable. One of the definitions of glory means this: honorable representation of God. Can we not be that today? The Bible talks about us being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an ambassador in a foreign land. The United States is not my home. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. But a lot of Christians today forget that. No, don't get me wrong. I love my country, but it's not my home. It's not my home. Your dear pastor went to his home 3.5 years ago. He went home. That's his home. That's my home. And if you're saved, that's your home. We're just passing through. And if God gives us a little stuff here to enjoy, we enjoy it. But we keep, that's not where my focus is at. My focus is on him and that eternal land that dwells over there beyond the sky, somewhere out there in space. That new heaven and new earth someday. That is home. But see, when our focus gets off of there and our focus gets to here, now we start losing some stuff. We start losing stuff that's important to God. Glory means he's called us, it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, that he's called us to glory and virtue. Glory means honorable representation of God. You represent the Savior. You are representation of the Savior here on this planet. You are his ambassador. Now, what happens to what is the job of an ambassador? Our ambassador to Spain, we have an ambassador over there from the United States. This is a perfect example of how you can't lose your salvation. An ambassador over in Spain represents the United States to the Spanish government over there. Now, if it gets found out that he's over there and he's going to bars when he should be going to meetings and he's sleeping around, and he's committing all these sins and he's just bringing a bad reputation to view of the United States because of his activities over there in Spain. When it first starts out, if somebody gets word of it from the United States, they're going to give him a phone call and say, "Hey, you better get your act together. You better get right. You're misrepresenting our country, okay? And if you don't get it right, you're getting called home." Let's say he keeps doing it. Oh, come on, you're coming home. He's coming home. But he's coming home in not the best circumstances. Actually, in bad circumstances, but he still gets to come home. Okay, he's still a United States citizen. He still gets to come home, but it's not the way he wants to come home. He's not coming home to rewards or accolades or medals or honor. He's coming home dishonorably, but he's still coming home. And that just goes to show you there, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, yes, you live for God, but you can live for God in an ungodly way. And God can say, "Hey, son or daughter, you need to get this made right. You need to get this corrected. No chastening. God chastens those that he loves. Hey, you need to get this right. You keep going on in it, God's going to keep chasing you. If you don't, he's going to take you home. But not under desirable circumstances. But you still get to go home. We are God's representatives here on this planet. We are his ambassador. Virtue means strength, moral goodness. Virtue is nothing more but voluntary obedience to the truth. And I'm going to close with these passages. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. Again, 2 Peter says in verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us," what has God called us to? What has Jesus Christ called us to? Glory and virtue. A representation of him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 23. Look at this verse here. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." What does the word expedient mean? It means hastening. It means urging forward. It means profitable. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things aren't profitable to me. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What does edify mean? It means to build, to instruct and improve the mind and knowledge generally, and particularly in moral and religious knowledge, in faith and holiness. Look, there's things that we can do, but they're not going to be expedient. There's things that God we can do that maybe not are sinful, but they're not going to edify us. They're not expedient. And they can affect our walk with God eventually. Okay? All things are lawful for me, but all things aren't necessarily expedient, which means all things that I can do may not push me towards the things of God. They may not be sin, but they're not pushing me towards the things of God, the knowledge of God, his thoughts, his ways, what he wants me to do. It's just kind of like I'm living in a state of limbo. It's really no effect, but in a sense it does have an effect on you. It's not sin, but it's also not lifting up the knowledge of God. It's not sin, but it's also not edifying me. It's not building me up. It's not instructing me, improving me in my faith and holiness with God. But it's lawful. I can do it. But it's not edifying. Does that make sense? I can go home and watch the news tonight. There's nothing sinful wrong with it unless there's stuff on there I shouldn't be looking at. But it's not edifying me. It's not pushing me towards holiness and faith in God, if that makes sense. So what Paul's saying is here, it's lawful. You can go do that. It's not sinful. Let's say I like hunting. There's nothing wrong with hunting. Let's say something you like to do. There's nothing. It's not sinful to go hunting. But if I'm doing it 5 days out of the week, now it's going to be something that's not expedient. It's not edifying me. And it can become a quick stumbling block to me to cause me to where I get to a point to where I am sinning. Does that make sense? So Paul's telling the Corinthian church, like he says, listen, all things are lawful for me, but all things aren't expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not everything edifies me. So I'm going to close with those thoughts, what Paul's saying there in Psalm chapter 1. Two more verses to look at, and they're both found in Psalms. Psalm chapter 1, kind of piggybacking on what Paul just told the Corinthian church, that all things are expedient, but all things are lawful, but not expedient. All things are lawful, but they don't necessarily edify. Why? Because we're God's representative. We're called to live, and we're called to godliness. We're called to holiness. We're called to represent our Savior. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's counsel? Instruction? Guidance? Information? Of who? The ungodly. Well, there ain't many newscasters or news agencies out there that I think are very godly. So therefore, that would show me that they're probably, the counsel, instruction, is probably not going to help me out too much, for the most part. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watching individuals that are full of scorn or mocking things or making fun of things, we need to be careful because that can affect our attitudes. But look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you see this principle? Look, you're this tree by this river. And if you do these things he talks about here in verse number 2, you delight in the law of God day and night, you're going to be like that tree next to that river, and it's going to soak up that water, and the fruit it's going to produce is going to be good fruit. Well, what's the fruit in the New Testament? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. How does that fruit look in your life? Is it all shriveled up like a grape? Or is it good fruit? Does that make sense? We'll say, preacher, well, my love's not like it should be. My gentleness is not like it should be. My temperance. Well, are you sitting in a seat of scornful? Are you standing in the way of sinners? Are you listening to the counsel of the ungodly? Well, then your fruit's going to shrivel up. It ain't going to be good fruit. Because your tree's not planted next to that water of God's word that you can meditate in day and night to strengthen your fruit. Does that make sense to me? What's the purpose of fruit? You eat it. You taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do people taste and see the Lord is good? They're tasting you. They're tasting your fruit of love, of joy, of peace. They're examining your life, and it's almost in essence like they're tasting you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do you taste and see the Lord is good? By the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you have a right attitude, when you show love, when you show temperance, when you show meekness, when you show gentleness, when you show patience, when you show peace, people are tasting that. And they're tasting. And then when you give it a testimony to it, and you say it's the Lord Jesus Christ, they are tasting the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're seeing that he is good. But we're lacking that. I'm not saying this church is. I'm saying Christianity as a whole is lacking people tasting that fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because they're sitting in the seat of scornful, they're walking in the way of sinners, and they're taking counsel of the ungodly. That's going to mess up your fruit. Last one, look over at Psalm chapter number, I believe it's chapter number 26. Psalm chapter 26. This Bible is up to, if this Bible, this Bible is up to date, I'll tell you it is up to date. The Bible talks, I think it's in Proverbs, it talks about following vain persons, right? What do we do on social media today, those that are in a social media? You follow people, right? Following vain people. And it talks about how the Bible's right on, even with social media today, a book written thousands of years ago is so up to date with what's going on here in 2021. But look what it says here in Psalm 26. Look what David says. I love David. I love him. David, Psalm chapter 26, verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. David said, so there's, if he says I shall not slide, there is ability to slide. Verse number 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Look at verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons. What do you do usually when you watch TV? Usually you're sitting. And most of the stuff on TV is vain persons. The majority of it is vain. What I mean by vain is there's no, again, it goes back to what we looked there in Corinthians, talking about it may be lawful, but it's not expedient. It may be lawful, but it's not edifying. It's just vanity. It just pacifies me for these hours, and then I go on my way. When in reality, if you keep doing it, it's going to affect you. He says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. What does dissemble mean? It means to hide under a false appearance, to conceal, to disguise hypocrisy. Brethren, be careful of the attacks of the enemy. I'm not going to look at it tonight, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. And his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Be careful that we don't let the enemy have... We allow little cracks in our life for the enemy just to slither on in there and try to break that thing wide open to where it brings destruction to our life. David says, I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers, those that are hiding under a false appearance. He says in verse 5, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house in the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Staying faithful to church, staying faithful to the word of God, staying faithful to prayer. Let God work in your life. And ask God to examine us. Ask God to examine yourself. Lord, is there any error in my life that I can improve on? Lord, is there any error? I'm praying that myself. I'm asking God, God, examine me, prove me, try me. Why? Because, brethren, look, especially some of you brothers in here, you work long hours. I don't know if any of all sisters work. Look, I know when your flesh is tired, it's hard to pick that Bible up. I don't know about you. You pick that Bible up. You worked a long day. You pick the Bible up. And within, you want to go to sleep. You don't need melatonin. Just try to start reading the Bible. And next thing you know, you're like. And you ain't even read three verses yet. You're just like, man, I'm so tired. Let me just put this down. But it so often seems like if you turn the TV on, you could stay awake for another hour or two. I'm not saying this to be hard. I'm saying this to try to help all of us draw close to God. The fight's real. And any good enemy doesn't jump on his opponent when he's strong. He waits till he gets weak. And then that's when he pounces. And then that's when serious problems come in. Let us stay strong in our Lord and walk in the power of his might, because he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through Jesus Christ, who's called us to, I'm paraphrasing, called us to glory and virtue. We are his representatives. What kind of fruit are we putting forth? And if we're putting forth poor fruit, ask the Lord, God, help me to put forth better fruit that people may taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I know the majority of them, Lord, they've had a long day, long week, dear God, working long hours, getting up early in the morning. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that they've come out to church tonight. I pray you bless them for it, Lord. Bless them, strengthen them, help them, encourage them. Help them to get sleep tonight as they go into work tomorrow. Lord, help the dear sisters here. Lord, help us all, dear God, to continue to strive to walk closer to you. Lord, help, examine us, dear God. Prove us, try us, Lord, for the purpose that we may be a better representation for you, Lord, a better ambassador, that we can just show this world that there is a difference once you're saved. Lord, that you make a difference in our life, that we do have peace and happiness and joy. And Lord, we just say these things, Lord, and we ask that you just help us to stay faithful, Lord. If we get knocked down the rest of this week, we feel like quitting, we feel like just giving up, Lord, I pray you just strengthen us, Lord. I pray we just stand back up and continue to fight the good fight. Lord, that you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love y'all. Appreciate you. And I guess we'll break apart to pray. Again, remember the prayer request we brought up, and especially for our country and those that are sick this evening. Amen.